Well, hello out there in radio land. Adam Lepp, in your speaker, in your Bluetooth, in your car, in your headset, wherever you might be. But the good thing about that is you have picked the right time to treat your ears to some fantastic radio programming. Of course, anything that involves myself being at the microphone will include lots of humor, at least a little bit of controversy, and several surprises. And this particular broadcast is no exception whatsoever. As a semi-regular guest, we've had Mr. Lucas Wall, who currently hangs his hat in Florida, but his official place of hat hanging is our nation's capital of Washington, D.C. And today is no exception. We're going to talk to him because he has lots of updates for us, lots of controversy, and of course, plenty of humor, because especially in these crazy times, laughter is the best medicine. So let's verify that I've properly duct taped the controls together, plugged A into B, and also crossed my fingers because that does tend to help. How are you doing today, Lucas, on this fine August day?
Hi, Adam. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back on your show.
Glad to hear that.
I always appreciate talking to you.
For those who have not heard us banter about on the radio previously, why don't you remind everybody how we came to know each other and exactly why you've been on my program several times, including today, of course.
Well, Adam and I met in a Facebook group opposing mandatory mask wearing all in the United States. And I happened to be the plaintiff in the very first case in the country to challenge all aspects of the federal transportation mask mandate. And I also have a second lawsuit challenging the discriminatory policies of seven airlines I had planned to fly on this summer who banned me because they will not allow exemptions to the federal transportation mask mandate in violation of a federal law called the Air Carrier Access Act.
So, like myself, Lucas, we oppose masks, and there are many sides of this. First, neither of us agrees that masks are effective. Interestingly and ironically, I believe they have some effectiveness, and you say it's even less than what I'm believing it to be. However, we both agree that it's counteracted by the myriad physical and emotional and societal, out of lack of a better term, problems that are caused by masks. That is, the cure is worse than the problem. And bottom line is, there is a disease floating around that's serious, that has claimed lives, and we need to deal with it. But masks are counterproductive and not the way to deal with it. Of course, we have the vaccine controversy. We don't really touch on that in this show. That's a whole other ball of wax, not to put it mildly. But the fact that people's rights are being violated by mask mandates at various government levels, that isn't cool. And you've been involved in fighting that. And I believe that what you've done, even though there's much more on the horizon, has had an impact and will continue to do so. In addition, the idea of covering your face causes anxiety in all people, certainly in yourself and certainly in myself. And that's an ADA violation. The whole concept of this forced masking, it is a major ADA class action suit waiting to happen. And what you've done is, you mentioned, sued several airlines, Southwest being the one that comes to mind first. As someone who's flown everywhere, certainly many more places than I have, I admire and quite jealous of your travels and what you've done at a young age also. And hopefully you can continue to travel the world and share your experiences with the great people of this land and all over the world. And the fact that these mandates have been instituted by the airlines, which you're suing, and these government agencies, they're not just playing doctor. They think they're playing God, as we would probably agree, is completely uncalled for. And your lawsuits are very justified. And not surprisingly, the government red tape has attempted to dampen your efforts. But I think they only make you more tenacious. And we'll see exactly what that tenacity will result in. Would that be a fairly accurate assessment? I was trying to actually explain that by being less wordy than I normally am, and I think.
I think you've hit the hammer on the nail of the head of the nail pretty well here. We talked, was last on your show 2 weeks ago. The government had filed August 9th its 88-page legal brief arguing against all 16 charges that I make against the federal government for violating the Constitution and various federal laws and regulations. I'm suing the president since he set this all into motion with his executive order January 21st, even though he said last September on the campaign trail that he acknowledged that the federal government has no power to enact a nationwide mask mandate, and doing so by executive fiat would be unconstitutional due to political pressure. He went ahead and did it anyway, and we've seen the complete failure of that policy, as obviously here in late summer, the coronavirus is nowhere near being under control, despite more than half the country being fully vaccinated. Nobody roots to see cases going up and to hear of more surges. But the fact that is occurring makes my arguments in court that much more stronger, that these mask policies put in place by Biden, CDC, TSA, et cetera, as well as many states and localities and businesses and schools, they're just not effective. And if they were, we wouldn't be hearing about approaching 200,000 new cases per day in this country. And we would not have had so many surges even during the winter when virtually every business and virtually every state had a mask mandate in place, except for here in sunny Florida, where people actually believe in freedom and personal choice and responsibility.
So you're actually suing Mr. Biden himself.
That's correct. He is one of the defendants because he signed the executive order telling CDC, Transportation Security Administration, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Transportation, and the Department of Homeland Security to put in place this federal transportation mask mandate. And I'm asking the court to declare his executive order unconstitutional. And so to do that, you have to name the president as a defendant because he is the one who put ink to paper and signed that dictate into law. He signed that dictate, period. I was going to say he signed that dictate into law, but it's very important to remind your listeners, Adam, Congress has never passed a law authorizing masks. And this is one of my central arguments, that the government is relying on a World War II era public health law to try and justify Biden putting this into place by authoritarian dictate, as opposed to letting Congress pass a law. But there is simply no reasonable reading of the law, and at least six courts and the Supreme Court in the last several months here have concurred with the argument that I am making.
We're speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall from his mother's domicile in the Sunshine State of Florida, even though in late August in Ohio, it feels like we're in Florida. It's been rather toasty, but but that's okay. We enjoy four seasons. We like a little bit of surprise from Mother Nature. He normally hangs his hat. Well, normally when he hangs his hat, he's neighbors to one of the defendants.
That's right. I often jog right by his house.
There's a lot of security at the White House, right?
Until recently, until the January 6th riot, you could usually jog right on Pennsylvania Avenue and just literally be able to throw a stone at his front door.
So do you ever see him walking his dog?
No, I have not.
You've never seen...
I've seen the presidential motorcades whiz around town lots.
But you haven't seen Joe or his lovely wife, Jill, or anyone else?
No, not personally. Not since I went to an event at the White House in 2008 or 9, maybe, when Obama was still president and Mr. Biden was the vice president, talking about high-speed rail.
But again, you normally do hang your hat in D.C. Of course, the reason why you've stayed in Florida, not that you don't enjoy visiting your mother and enjoy beautiful scenery in Florida, and we both certainly have some admiration for the governor there. We don't agree with everything he has to say, but when it comes to masks and personal freedom and the Constitution, I think he's pretty much hit the nail on the head. But one reason why you're still in Florida is essentially an inability to travel north to D.C. due to these inane, I guess that's the best word I can use without the FCC getting upset at me, mask rules. And whether or not
I'm stuck here in Florida. I don't own a car. People say, well, you could rent a car and drive back, but that's a heck of a lot more dangerous than flying, and I'm a frequent flyer. In fact, I had not planned to return from my mother's directly home to Washington. I had a lengthy itinerary I was going to do now that I had become fully vaccinated in May. I was going to take off June 2nd to see a friend in Fort Lauderdale and then head out west to Utah and Arizona and then to Texas, where I used to live, and then from Texas to Germany to visit my brother and his wife, and then back home to D.C. for a week or two, and then out to Seattle, Washington to see a friend, and then back home to D.C. And I think I was supposed to be back home by this point. The summer is almost over. I don't remember what the exact date was now that I had planned on returning back, but I think it was in late July.
Of course, currently, Lucas, Mr. Biden is in quite a bit of trouble. Even his biggest fans aren't thrilled with what he's been doing with the Afghanistan situation. We could spend a whole show on that one, but you can just pick up the paper. It's a rough time for him right now. And similar to this mask thing, Lucas, we have the eviction moratorium. That it's not literally a ban on evictions. You can evict it. There are just some loopholes that you have to go through. And it would appear that he instituted that illegally also. He just thinks he has the power to say, well, no more evictions. I guess people don't have to pay rent or whatever it is that he's claiming. Kind of like the mask thing. Wasn't really thought out, and even some of his biggest fans aren't too thrilled at what he's done. It kind of the three things, the masks, the evictions, and now the Afghanistan situation. It's not a very good time for Mr. Biden as we enter Labor Day, is it?
No, it certainly is not, Adam. Last week, Biden's approval rating in the aggregate of all the national polls showed that his approval rating dipped below 50% for the first time. Certainly, the surging pandemic that he declared victory on Independence Day and the debacle in Afghanistan is certainly hurting him, but he's also lost a lot of credibility from moderates like myself. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a political independent. And I get really tired whenever I get messages from pro-mask people who automatically assume that I was a diehard supporter of President Trump just because I disagree with mask wearing. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not a partisan person. But Biden has thumbed his nose at the Constitution and at the judicial branch now, especially with the eviction moratorium. Long story short, most of your listeners who've paid attention to this topic know that the CDC was at the Supreme Court against a bunch of landlords late June, and the Supreme Court upheld the eviction moratorium on a 5-4 vote, but the swing vote, Justice Kavanaugh, wrote a short opinion stating that he was only allowing the moratorium to stay in place because the government had promised it would end July 31st, and that would give the government time to distribute to the states and for the states to then distribute to landlords and tenants emergency rent relief that was passed as part of some of the COVID aid packages. However, after letting the moratorium expire July 31st, after the Solicitor General had pledged to the Supreme Court the government would do, Biden then allowed the CDC 3 days later on August 3rd to reimpose it. And now the landlord groups have gone back to court. They've lost in the district court, and they've lost in the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia because of prior decisions staying the judgment they had won. So the D.C. Circuit issued its opinion just Friday the 20th, and we're expecting now The eviction ban will return to the Supreme Court on an emergency application this week, and it's highly likely Biden is going to get a giant slap in the face from his nine friends on First Street Northeast across from the Capitol.
We are speaking with Lucas Wall, a person who's been on my show a few times. He is suing several airlines and several government agencies, including President Joseph Biden himself, for what he believes and what I believe to be an illegal, unjustified, or lack of a better term, stupid mask requirement for travel. Sometimes, Lucas, you try to sound intellectual and get these fancy words, and all you can think of is something like stupid. But it is stupid, isn't it? I mean, that's not the fanciest word in the world, but, I mean, it hits the nail on the head, right?
I'll agree with you on that, Adam, but to be a little more eloquent, let me phrase it in that not just is mask wearing stupid, as any child could hopefully realize despite the brainwashing that so many parents and school districts are trying to engage in. I have spent the last 3 months while I've been working on these lawsuits researching the science of masks, and I have read probably more than 200 scientific research papers and medical articles on this topic. I probably know more about this than a lot of medical professionals do by now. And I have just created a website on my blog, lucas.travel, lucas.travel, that lists the 114 studies I picked out of all those that I've read that I've submitted into evidence in my case against the government. I just filed those last Wednesday, the 18th. And if you go to my blog, and the one in the top post right now is this list of 114 studies and articles. Educate yourself. Read through some of those studies and articles. It will probably take you days to go through all of them, but I've compiled that as a resource for people who are fighting against mandatory masking in schools and in businesses and in states and localities, so that people can educate themselves and be aware that what the CDC and some other quote-unquote health experts are telling us, it's just pure false. And I've learned so much about not only masks are not effective in reducing COVID-19 spread. One judge in Kentucky on a mask case there wrote that after reading all of these reports, my conclusion is that wearing a mask to stop coronavirus is like putting up chain link fencing to stop mosquitoes from coming into your yard. And that's a really excellent way to phrase it. So not just the fact that they don't work, that's one thing, but then what a lot of these studies are on is all of the detrimental consequences to our health of wearing masks. Covering your nose and mouth, obstructing your breathing, resulting in reduced oxygen in your body and an increased carbon dioxide that you exhale and then is being bounced back into your mouth. The damages that forced masking is causing to people over long periods of time is really crazy, and it's something we just don't hear about in the media narrative, and I am determined to help get this information out to people. So again, it's lucas.travel, lucas.travel, if you want to go pull up that webpage that I just posted on Sunday.
Lucas, we will get to an update on your lawsuits against the aforementioned parties, but wanted to backtrack a little bit. Since we first spoke on the radio a few weeks ago, I had you on with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, just a couple days after you spoke to me. Of course, when you speak with Scott, you never quite know what his viewpoint is on something. Sometimes I do keep a neutral view. But on things that I feel really strongly about, like this, I can't help but provide my opinion, as this is important. And this is really the most ridiculous situation I've seen in my entire life, and I've seen a lot of ridiculousness. This takes the cake. In fact, nothing else really is even close, and it's I don't think it's going to be ending anytime soon. But with Scott, you never really know. He lets you provide your opinion. He might challenge you. And he makes everybody think, and that makes him a good interviewer. Of course, Scott had one of the most controversial people around, Bill Cosby, on recently. So, you know, we do call him the interviewer to the stars for good reason. And certainly, I know you enjoyed that. Radio appearance wasn't quite the same as when you're on with me, but it's good to speak to different kinds of hosts. Also, you and I were on the Mike Essen show. Mike Essen is a very conservative blogtalkradio.com radio host, not far from where you are now in Florida. He was not able to be at the microphone, so he had a substitute host, what I might call a substitute DJ, not really a DJ, but I kind of like that word because, you know, like Donald Trump, I do make up my own words from time to time, Joe Goldner. So you and I, Lucas, were on with Joe Goldner recently, and he's someone, again, also like Mike, very conservative. We're not going to agree on many issues, but we certainly agree on this one. How do you think the show with Joe Goldner went?
Yeah, I think it went well. It's been nice to get some publicity for my case. I certainly appreciate you having me on here several times now, and that's led to some other appearances and coverage by journalists. I expect the case will get more coverage as we move forward here. It's always good to talk to different folks and to get the word out. I'm a former newspaper reporter myself and trade association newsletter editor, and have a degree in journalism and political science. And I'm just really upset, to be honest, to see the journalistic profession just buying every bit of propaganda that comes out of CDC and not doing its diligence to question what those folks in the government are saying, and not presenting some of these 114 studies illustrating that masks are ineffective and they have so many negative consequences.
You and I have talked about how CNN, which used to be very centrist, a little left-leaning, but I would call them within the margin of error, centrist. But that was a couple years ago. I've now rebranded them as the Coronavirus News Network. They've become very left, at least with this issue. And it's really kind of upsetting because you like to think that the best journalists are ones who are unbiased. And do we ever really see that anymore? I mean, Fox, well, it's certainly one network that will generate controversy. And you got Tucker Carlson, a bit of a whippersnapper who will say what's on his mind, and a bit like myself, always injects some humor. But certainly many people might find his viewpoints to be rather extreme. Yeah, and I think in general, Fox isn't quite as far to the right as people say. A lot of it is relative, with CNN having moved quite a bit to the left and MSNBC always quite left. Fox suddenly comes out into the spotlight. Do you think mainstream media should be, and again, more like Scott Spears here, where he doesn't really provide these opinions, do we need this MSM, we call it mainstream media, Lucas, to be more centrist and not keep littering what they have to say with their opinions? And especially on a controversial issue like this, has the move to the left hurt CNN? Will it hurt them 5 years down the road? Was that maybe a bad decision from a professional viewpoint, or maybe it's good that they finally decide what their actual leanings are?
Yeah, I agree with you. Unfortunately, when I was in journalism school back in the late 1990s and graduated in December 1999 in the waning days of the millennium, CNN was a reputable news source. You could turn it on and see what the news is, and you would get balanced reporting. You'd have late night hosts such as Larry King, who interviewed lots of people and tried to limit his own opinion. Today, what we have in the media is so much different. What I learned in journalism school 20 years ago, to be balanced, to be fair, to make sure you cover at least two sides of the story. Oftentimes, there's even more than two sides to a story. We live in a diverse country with a lot of diverse people and a lot of diverse viewpoints. But in terms of cable news now, what we have are essentially going backwards in time to the days when newspapers were all sponsored by political parties, and there were very few independent real news sources. If you were belonging to one party, you would buy one paper. If you belong to the other, you would buy this other paper. And that's the case now in cable news. You've got MSNBC and in CNN, which are way to the left. And then you have Fox News Channel, which I, as a centrist, sometimes call the Fox Propaganda Channel. And then, of course, farther right than that, you have the lesser-known Newsmax and One America News Network. So we essentially have five national cable news channels, and they're all partisan. They all essentially belong to one party or another. We've lost the actual independent news source. And since more people get their news from TV than they do from newspapers, although now with social media in the mix, that's kind of who knows where that equation is. But I find it, as someone with a journalism degree and who worked in journalism for many years in my career, it really upsetting. And this issue really highlights it to me, because this is not a black or white issue. This is not, as is reported in so many media outlets, that masks are wonderful and they're the cure to this problem, and every scientist in the world is in agreement on it. There is an extreme amount of disagreement within the medical and scientific community about the efficacy of mask wearing, Adam. Yet all we hear from some media outlets is that masks are the greatest thing that's ever been created on Earth. And then on the other side, we hear how horrible and terrible masks are. Where's the independent journalism to tell us both sides and let people decide for themselves and for their children what they believe is actually the best evidence?
So you and I would be in accord that this issue, which has so many consequences, is really hurting journalism. The idea that you can get...
Absolutely. It's so awful to me. I still consider myself as a journalist. I keep a travel blog, as I noted, Lucas.travel, that exists for reporting on my trips across the world. But because my foreign travel was on hiatus for a year because of the pandemic until I got vaccinated, and then is on extended sabbatical now because of the federal transportation mask mandate, meaning I can't fly because I can't tolerate wearing a mask. I've turned my blog now into information about my case and trying to get out information that we're not seeing in much of the media in terms of the scientific studies and medical articles that show us that people have studied masks, they've done real-world research, and they have shown they are not helping reduce COVID, which anybody with half a brain could realize since we're now into month 17 of the pandemic. Most Americans have been wearing masks. Have we eradicated COVID or even reduced it to low numbers? No, sadly, not even with widespread vaccination availability. So people who continue to argue that masks are the answer, they're doing so because they don't have both sides of the story, is my opinion. And certainly there are people who are going to read the studies and they're only going to agree with the few numbers that show masks are the gold standard solution. But I think most people who favor masking, they've only been exposed to one side of the story. They have not read the studies that I have read and that get discussed so often on the right-wing cable channels. And so they are just not making informed decisions. And that's a big detriment to our society when we have this polarization of the media. The media's job should be independent sources of news and information, regardless of who is stating that. And now what happens is if a reputable scientist comes out with a report, such as the researchers in Denmark several months ago, who ran a study with upwards of 8,000 people split into masking and no mask wearing groups and found that there was no statistical significance between the numbers in each group who came down with COVID during the 4 or 5 month long study. If a study like that comes out what we see almost instantly in the media is not fair and unbiased reporting of that. We see these fact check articles that try to debunk and take apart all of the little flaws in the study. But of course, we don't ever see those fact checks when it comes to the studies that CDC and the other pro-maskers put out, do we?
Yeah, the fact checking is getting a little out of hand, and it seems like whatever your bias is will affect exactly what it is you're checking and what the result will be. And as we're not seeing this nonpartisan nature of journalism that I'm sure you spent a lot of time studying in school. That's a bit of a shame. Maybe we can go back to that when this calms down. But we shall see. Whenever I think I've solved one of the controversies or predicted an outcome, looks like I've been wrong. So we'll find out. You know, a friend of mine over the weekend, Lucas, asked me, do you think they're going to close the restaurants again? And I said, well, Mike DeWine, our governor, said he kind of hinted that he'd like to have a mask mandate, but the powers to do that were stripped. And we're finding colleges and school districts requiring masks of students and faculty and visitors and contractors. But do you see that as a reality? Are we going to go back to what we had last year where restaurants and gyms and those kind of places are closed? Do you see that happening?
I don't think we're going to get that far, Adam, because we're in month 17 of the pandemic, so we can't stop living our lives. And we do have more than half of the country fully vaccinated. Unfortunately, the vaccinations are not proving to be as effective as we had been told and as we had hoped. And I mentioned this as someone who is in favor of vaccine and is vaccinated myself. A lot of people hear that I'm anti-mask mandate and they automatically assume that I'm also anti-vaccine. That's not true. I'm anti-vaccine mandate because I believe in personal choice and autonomy of one's own body and to make medical decisions for him or herself and for parents to make those decisions for their children. I don't think we're going to go back into lockdowns because I think the economic devastation is just too much. And the federal government has already gone trillions of dollars into debt trying to help people who have been put out of work by the state lockdowns. And as we see in California, the governor there in a deep blue state is facing the real possibility he could be evicted from office by the voters because of his lockdown measures and his extreme stance on trying to contain the coronavirus, which led to such economic catastrophe in California. That election's coming up in just a few weeks for Governor Newsom. So I don't think we're going to get that far. I think you see right now the hot topic as schools are about to restart across most of the nation is the masks and, of course, the vaccine mandates. And I think the vaccine mandates are going to start coming like dominoes here if on Monday or later this week we get the government declaring through the FDA that the one of the vaccines is now fully FDA approved, because that removes a hurdle that I wanted to talk to you about before we run out of time today in terms of a new legal argument that I'm making in my case regarding masks, but it also applies to vaccines. So I don't know if you want to jump into that or if you have something else on your mind first.
Mama always said time flies when you're having fun. We have about 7 or 8 minutes left. Speaking with Lucas Wall here on the Adam Lep mid-morning coffee break, mid-afternoon radio extravaganza program on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Yeah, go ahead and share with us what you wanted to share with us, as well as an update on your case, and we'll have to leave you fine folks in suspense, and Lucas and I will more than likely meet over the phone on the airwaves in a few more days and talk a little more. But yeah, go ahead and share with us, Lucas, because I am certainly intrigued by the words that you are about to utter.
Quick update on the case first. As I mentioned, the government filed its 88-page response to my complaint, charging it with 16 violations of the Constitution, laws, and regulations on August 9th. I then filed a rebuttal last Wednesday, the 18th, detailing my response to all of their allegations and arguing why the court should not accept any of their arguments. The next step will be the government gets a final brief called a reply, and that deadline right now is set for September 1, but the government, knowing it's going to lose, is in bad faith trying to get the court to give them a one-month extension to punt their deadline until September 30th. So I'm going to have to be arguing against that request here this week. But one interesting new argument I raised during the last brief I filed a week ago was dealing with this federal law called the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And this is very interesting, and I haven't read too much about this, but I came across this in my research because there's been a lot of talk about vaccine mandates lately, as you know, Adam. And what most people maybe don't pay close attention to is that the governments that are mandating vaccines, it's either you get the vaccine or you do X, Y, and Z, such as submit to weekly COVID testing, have to wear a mask in the office when people who are vaccinated don't, et cetera, et cetera. It's a choice. It's not really a mandate. And I found out that's because federal law does not allow any medical device or vaccine or new drug or product authorized under what they call EUA, Emergency Use Authorization. The law states that a person must have the option to accept or refuse administration of any product issued under EUA. Now, why is that important? Well, first of all, when it comes to the vaccines, none of the vaccines have full FDA approval yet. They were issued under emergency use, and that's why no government agency and arguably no private company can force their employees to get vaccinated, period. It has to be get a vaccine or do A, B, and C. What I learned and what really surprised me is that this law also applies to most face coverings that are out there on the market. A mask is actually defined in federal law as a medical device because it is used to treat or prevent a communicable disease. And the fascinating thing I learned is that most of the masks out there that people are putting on their face are approved by FDA for sale in the United States only under an emergency use authorization. And in fact, FDA has revoked the EUAs as of June for more than 200 brands of masks made in China and has now prohibited any mask made in China from being imported and sold in the United States. And this is very interesting because all of these mask mandates, they don't require that you only wear FDA-certified masks such as N95 respirator masks. They allow you to comply with these mandates by wearing a homemade cloth face covering or some little light blue quote-unquote surgical mask made in China that you bought in the drugstore. Well, it turns out it appears that is actually illegal. And the I found some very interesting paperwork from the FDA where they do not allow anyone selling masks authorized by this emergency process to represent or suggest that such product is safe or effective for the prevention or treatment of patients during the COVID-19 pandemic. And so that is words actually from the FDA itself. And I've put that into my latest court filing to show the court that not only do certified masks not help in reducing COVID and cause damage to our health, but most of the masks that are out there being sold to Americans to comply with mask mandates, the FDA itself has actually deemed them either defective and banned them from further sale in the United States, or they have put a caveat saying we've only approved these because of the emergency. We have not had time to review and actually see if these are effective, and we do not allow anyone selling these kind of masks to represent that they are actually effective for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19. So that to me is just mind-blowing, having made that discovery, because I've heard very little discussion throughout the pandemic about this issue. And I encourage anyone who's fighting a mask mandate, whether it be at your workplace, your local government, your school board, your state, get a hold of this information about masks and emergency use authorization, because this is federal law. This is not a regulation or an order like the federal transportation mask mandate. This is actually a law passed by Congress, signed by the president, administered by the FDA, that is telling us that no one can be forced to use one of these products.
Lucas Wall, once again, my guest here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with his erudite and insightful and sometimes controversial comments. But that's how we roll here on The Talking Place. We get the brain cells to function and make you think about decisions that you make. And we do respect all decisions. And many things have been covered during this program. Update on Lucas's case, or rather sad observation that many of the mainstream media are moving farther to the left, farther to the right, and we'd like to see some more unbiased reporting, as well as dozens of studies that indicate that masks are not only of very minimal effectiveness, but detrimental due to the myriad issues that they cause. Lucas will be on with me again, I'm sure, because there are never a shortage of topics to ponder. Remind our listeners again, Lucas, about your blog and also some of the recent topics that you've covered. We got about 1 or 2 minutes left.
Yeah, the blog is a very simple address. It's lucas.travel, lucas.travel. You can find the webpage I just put up on Sunday with 114 studies showing masks are ineffective and cause harm to human health. You can also find lots of updates about the lawsuits. And I would definitely encourage people to take a look at those. And again, if you're someone who does not believe in mask mandates and is trying to prevent, for instance, your school district from forcing your kids to wear a mask, definitely Google FDA masks emergency use authorization. Get the documentation from FDA and bring it to your school board or employer or anyone else who's forcing you to muzzle yourself or your children, and show them that even the FDA has declared that the vast majority of masks sold in the United States are actually defective, and we don't know if any of the rest of them, beyond the few that we have certified for respiratory protection, such as N95s, actually do anything to help prevent coronavirus. This is the government itself saying this. This is not Lucas Wall or some right-wing nut job saying this. This is the Food and Drug Administration itself.
And I want to remind people that if they feel like we do, to join the Facebook group, which is called Americans Against Mask Mandates. We have powers in numbers, don't we, my friend?
Absolutely.
Thanks
I
again.
I created that group a few weeks ago when we ran into trouble with another group that we were communicating in, and we have a great group of folks from across the country who are sharing knowledge and information and trying to counter the propaganda that is coming out from CDC and many other health agencies that is completely one-sided.
And thanks again, Lucas, for being with us here on The Talking Place. Of course, you can always send me an email. We have a private email server, just like two of the three most recent first ladies. I'm not sure if Michelle Obama has one, but Hillary certainly does. And of course, so does the lovely Melania. So the not-so-lovely Adam, you can email me at adam@wwgh1071.com.